people expect you to look a certain way, talk a certain way, but they don't expect you to be vulnerable for whatever reason. They don't expect you're going to say that. They don't expect it out of all the mystique and the glamour and all the bullshit they paint on you, that you're actually just a normal dude. Put my pants on just like you did. I fucked this whole thing up just like you have. I'm still back here just trying to make it better. Am I perfect? No, man. Not even close. Still back here applying steady pressure every single day. Still doing my morning routine. I can always be better. Always. I think that's the difference. I just accept it. I am flawed. I have messed this whole thing up, and I will give it a voice because you won't. All the people you're hanging around with their hands in their pockets aren't saying shit. I'll say it. Because people need to. Because I've been the only guy on the island. I've been the only person suffering through it with no one else to turn to. I don't want anybody else to feel like that. So if putting my story out on the internet connects a couple million people to realize, like, damn, that dude's struggling with mental health? That guy's got anxiety, depression? Man, I'd kill to have that guy's life. Yeah, from the outside, you wouldn't. It's not always, grass ain't always greener, man.
Today's episode was powered by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food with everything that your body needs.
That's probably the thing that means the most, is I've had a ton of people that have come up to me with their families here when their wives are, and they'll come up to me like, hey man, I watch your podcast, I really appreciate it. And like, yeah, thanks, blah, 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 we'll take a selfie. They'll walk away and their wives will turn around and run back. I'm like, you saved his fucking life. Like, and I know it's the truth. She got tears rolling down her eyes. I start crying. I'm like, I know. And she's like, you have no idea how bad he was. I'm like, yeah, I do. I know how bad it'll get. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I FaceTimed dudes. I know. And it's one of those things to think that I almost didn't do it. And all the people that I could have helped that I wouldn't have helped. Like, I couldn't imagine it now. Like, I think that's the thing we push out now, is give it a voice. At the end of the day, be a pro. And if you be a pro in everything you do, it gives you the accountability, it gives you the ownership, and it gives you an opportunity to be the person that people are trying to emulate, people are trying to be like. And that's really what we're trying to push. Like, are we trying to mass produce you? Are we trying to put you in a position where people want to emulate your actions and be a better version of you? My God, I hope so, man. I hope that's what I'm doing. That's most certainly what I'm trying. Whatever you're doing, do it at an ultra high level. I don't care if you're a banker, a baker, an orthodontist, whatever you're going to be. If you do it at a super high level, the professionalism cannot be ignored. It's infectious. When you walk into a room, the way you stand, the way you speak, the way you present, it encapsulates the entire room. It's like everybody is better now that you're there because you're a pro at everything you do. And that's what you want. I want you doing whatever you're doing at an ultra high level because I want people backfilling you. I want you to inspire a generation. Faster people get on board with that, the better off we'll all be. It's like, I'm trying to be the best version of me because that profession deserves it. It cripples me. Like, to think back of who I was 5 years ago and to think I could still be that person now, that's one of the biggest scares I have. If I would have maintained that trajectory where I'd be at right now, if I wouldn't have surrounded myself with positive people, if I somehow would have managed the storm and where I'd be at. Like, nobody I'd want to be. Definitely not clonable. I wouldn't want 25 me running around. Not back then. There are moments in my life where ultra proud of who I am and what I've done and what I've contributed, and moments in my life where I couldn't be more embarrassed. I look at it. Is that a professional answer? Why'd I do it? Here, stone cold sober, I have no idea. I think that's the thing that plagues me the most. If I look back on the big errors I've made, there's only one thing I'll tell you, and I think a lot of people get a lot out of this. Every single mistake I've ever made in my life that I can recall right now could have been solved with a singular question. Is what I'm doing now or what I'm about to do benefit my group in any way? No. Does me drinking a six-pack and driving make my team better? Nope. It's me getting shit-faced and staying out till 4 a.m. in downtown L.A. when I've got a wife and two kids at home make me better? Nope. Does it make my family better? No. Does it hurt my family? Does that affect my job too? So you're actually hurting the team. Yep. Does skipping the gym make my team better? Nope. taking all these drugs make me better. No. It's like, at the end of the day, if you just look at it in that, everything I do physically, everything I do in my morning routine is for the optimal end state. Does that support the optimal end state? No. What are you doing? It solves itself. And I had a troop chief that told me that everything you're doing should be purpose built. Is wearing that t-shirt represent my group? No. Fucking take it off. Roger that. Right? Just as simple as that. Everything you do, everything you say represents all of us. Are you proud of what you just said? You proud of the way you acted in front of these people? No, neither are we. Like, oh. It's heavy, man. Like, the responsibility you have. You know, I'm a steward of people's time and energy and attention. You're a professional. You spent your whole life earning your position in this team, and I just pissed it away by wearing this stupid-ass t-shirt and saying this out of my mouth. Okay. So now everything I do now, I just ask myself that. Is this potential to hurt your team? My team being my family? Yeah. So I'm not going to do it. Does this potentially hurt GBRS? Potentially. Don't do it. Then I don't. And it solves itself. Like now there's more checks and balances. I just look at it objectively. That doesn't make them better. I'm not doing it. Kind of a boring life, but it really keeps you accountable. Any scenario you throw on the table, anything, just throw it on the table. Does it make the company better? No, that doesn't. Why the fuck are you doing it? Because you're putting your individual needs above the needs of the group. And that's the big thing that cannot happen. If you start thinking like an individual in a team setting, that's an issue. Like, well, I need this. You need that? Or we need that? Because we don't need that. Oh. Okay. It really does start to solve everything you ever wanted to know. If you ever want to be part of a team being your family, your best friend, whatever that is what you're doing or about to do, help that team. If the answer is no, don't do it. Just don't. And I think when people start to adopt that kind of mindset, they really become accountable and they really become professional and they really see how important they are to that entire team concept. Like, your position really does matter. We don't just grow you on trees. We need for you to be here at 100%. And if you're not going to be, then pack your shit and leave. Matters though. How far you're willing to go for the group, how much you're willing to sacrifice to put them before yourself. Dials and switches. You know, when you're 19 years old, fresh out of high school, joining a new whatever, it's really easy just to go, I'll be a Navy SEAL. It's the only thing that matters. Nothing else matters. How good I can shoot, move, communicate, parachute, dive, whatever it is. It's a lot of things you really got to be good at. And it's a lot easier if I don't have any distractions. So let me just focus on this one thing. And where a lot of guys make the mistake is they try to introduce a family into that foundational phase. Like, well, instead of just focusing my first 4, 5, 6, 10 years on developing my kata, my style, my foundation, I'm going to try to manage a bunch of things at one time. I'll try to get a girlfriend. I'll get a puppy. I'll buy a house. I'll do this. I'll take it windsurfing. No. Nope. I think it's necessary to limit your options and narrow your focus. I don't want any external factors pulling bandwidth from me. I just want to focus on this one thing right now. It's the only thing I truly care about because it matters. So I'm going to hammer down on this one thing right now. I think introduce the concept of dials and switches as early as possible. If you think they can retain the information, they can understand the concept, I would say I do not recommend anybody who is setting their foundation and trying to achieve a high level to try to focus on dials and switches. I wouldn't. You're representing the team in everywhere you go. Your performance in class is a direct representative of this team, right? Like, it all matters. And if you don't do those dials and switches, if you're only thinking about football every day, you can't focus on class. You have to be able to focus on class. So in that concept, it is dials and switches, but those are the only two dials you should have. It shouldn't be your toxic girlfriend or this drama you have here, this social media bullshit. You need to take the two things that only matter and focus on those dials. But for the majority of people, while you're single, while you don't have any distractions, really focus. Focus on setting your baseline, focus on the obsession. It's like, while you have the opportunity, while you have the clarity to do so, start to introduce those concepts. It's the consistency. Am I better than I was the day before? Yeah, because naturally I have more experience. I have more experience today than I did yesterday. Have I been living in this vessel for one day longer? Yeah, I naturally have more experience. So it could be as simple as, did I work out today? Yep. Did I do one extra rep? Mm-hmm. Did I do more weight than I did last week? Yeah, 3 pounds. Not a big jump, just enough. Just enough to keep myself on track. Am I still pushing forward? Am I still applying steady pressure every single day? Yeah, I haven't let myself go. You haven't missed a workout? Nope. You haven't missed 20 minute walk? Nope. Why? Because I said I wouldn't. It doesn't have to be this I don't have to climb Mount Everest. I just need to wake up every single day with a reason to swing my feet out of bed and pop up quick. Because it's going to be better than I wish yesterday. Because the people that I support deserve it. Like, I'm not perfect. I'm an imperfect creature. Ask anybody, they'll tell you. The only difference between me and you is I'm actively trying to get better. A lot of people just want to sit there like, it's good enough. I said the same thing, dude. Until you realize good enough isn't good enough. You can always be better. There's a lot of room on the table, man. Like, I can really be better. I can be better at a lot of things that I never even cared about before. Let's hammer down. Let's set the example. It goes back to the be a pro thing. Like that 1% better, that's how the professionals do it. How you want to get better at anything? Do it 10 minutes every day, 365 days a year. At the end of that year, you'll be better than 80% of the population that does that one thing. Doesn't matter what it is. Like, that's the truth. It does not take an exuberant amount of time or attention. It just takes steady pressure. And a lot of times, instead of doing it, you just want to scroll through IG for an extra 10 months. Well, you don't have to. You could learn a new skill. You could polish on an existing skill. You could have a better conversation with your kids, your wife, grandmother, your mother, whatever. A lot of people just don't want to do it. It sounds too hard. It's like, I don't have the time for that. You don't have the time for that? You're not making the time for that. Same people that, you know, they want to lose weight, but they don't want to diet. They'll go through 40 years of being overweight, and then all of a sudden you see them, you're like, what happened to you? And you're like, I finally did this diet and I finally just stuck with it. And he's like, come to think of it, you know, I never really tried before. I kind of just stopped eating the lean cuisines and I gained 40 pounds back. Yeah, takes what it takes. You just didn't think you'd be able to do it, so you just stopped trying. If you make it digestible and not easy but maintainable, people will get on board with it. And a lot of the times they need to see someone show them, like, it doesn't have to be rocket science. Does not have to be so complicated that you couldn't figure this out. Tell everybody, do a 20-minute walk every night after dinner. Do it for a week. Do it for 2 weeks. Then do it for a month. If you're not losing weight, if you're not doing this, your diet is really, really terrible, introduce another walk. I know you feel better off the walk. I know you do. I've never had anybody like, man, I did those 20-minute walks for a week. I really feel like shit. Like, no, you don't. Never had anybody say that. I've had thousands of people call me like, change my life. Me too. That's why I keep saying it. Like, I don't get paid every time somebody does a 20-minute walk. I only do it because I know how much it's helped me. Like, without those 20-minute walks, man, I'm not kidding you, I would be screwed right now. And I just don't want to see people suffer. I've been there. I've been the only guy on my island alone. I've been there. And I hate when it happens to people, because it doesn't have to be. Like, we can get through this thing together. But not if you're not willing to help yourself. If you're going to lay down the fetal position and cry to me about how hard your life is, it's not going to work. You've got to be open, honest, and we have to be willing to put in some work. I'm not going to make it impossible, but you've got to make it work. If I could give everyone in the room a singular gift, it'd be the power of that 20-minute walk. And it really helps with mental health. The job's stressful, man. Work is stressful. If you don't take time for yourself, you'll never find it. Like, if you have to get it done, sacrifices must be made. Maybe you're not staying up till 10 o'clock. Maybe you're going to bed at 8 because you have to wake up at 4. It's one thing to be able to crush everybody. It's one thing to be able to control every situation physically. It's another to be able to control it and not let them know you can control it. I can sit back and I can let you do or say whatever you want to, and I'm not going to perceive it positively or negatively. I know that I can control the outcome of this whenever I want to. That's a superpower. I'm going to hide in the white noise and I'll just sit here, and then whenever I want to, I'll change it. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They feel like they're in this corner. They can't get a way out of it. They don't see a way out of it. Or they're on a different plane now than their spouse or whatever else. And they make permanent decisions without realizing the outcome. Like, what you're about to do is permanent, dude. There's no reset button. You're not coming back in another life. It's not. Like, it's over for you. And I feel like a lot more people, if they had the clarity or they had somebody just to shake them and tell them that right now. Like, not right now. Do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. Like Churchill, going through hell, keep going. Steady pressure. There's no reason to make a decision right now when the worst has ever been. Let's work on getting optimal and then make a decision when you're in an optimal state. But don't do it at the bottom. Do it at the top. And a lot of the times you have to force them, you have to give them the ability. And I see it in a lot of SWAT team guys now. A lot of guys struggle with mental health stuff. Like, sometimes you have to force the conversation. Sometimes you have to lie in order to get them to open up. And I'll do some back and forth with dudes. Like, how does that look like? How's that look like in conversation? How's that look like? How do I engage with a guy? How do I engage with my husband, my wife, that I've got some mental health going on? You just say it. Well, I don't know how to say it. I'll do one. Dude, I haven't slept in like 5 days, dude. Me and my wife been fighting. After that fucking call last Tuesday, I can't shake it out of my head. And it haunts me every fucking minute of every day. I've been drinking every day. She's pissed at me. She's been sleeping at a friend's house. And the whole conversation just kicks over. I'm just like, yeah, that thing fucked me up too, man. He's like, I can't get it out of my head. Keeps going over and over. And trauma's trauma. Doesn't matter what patch you have, what fancy school you went to, what selection course you graduated from, that shit does not matter. And that's really what I try to push out now. Like, people try to put you on a pedestal because you graduated some course or you served in some unit. But I'll tell you, every level, people are struggling. Every level. Childhood shit affects a dude in the special forces community the same way it does a school teacher. Same thing. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter you did 10 deployments to whatever, that does not matter. That thing that happened to you at 6 still haunts you. Same thing. If we don't get on that positive cycle list, it's only gonna get worse. And a lot of guys, they suffer in silence. You know, suffer in silence and misery loves company. If we can figure out a way to bridge those two, and it starts with just you using your voice. Like, you have to say it. I struggle with mental health all the time, and you should see the looks like, but you're this. Like, don't they train you for that? Like, maybe I missed the PowerPoint presentation where they talk about how mental health doesn't affect us. I don't know. It most certainly affects me. I kind of just went through the whole thing and then the importance of it. And a lot of the stuff is, you know, kind of reshaped that whole narrative into being a professional, being a pro at everything you do. And part of that is communication. Part of that is acceptance. Part of that is picking somebody up when they've fallen down. Being that on every level. Am I a professional at everything I do? And am I trying to make myself 1% better in all this fields? Yeah. Is my mental health perfect? No. Do I still get depressed? Yeah. Do I still have anxiety? Yeah. Am I actively combating it? Any right I am, all day. Because I understand the importance of it now. If I don't have any bandwidth to give to other people, there's nothing else to give to them. But if I manage my stuff as much as I possibly can, I try to keep it isolated, constantly polishing it, constantly refining it, keep this shit in the box, then I can open up the other 75% of my bandwidth to everybody else. But if I don't, my stuff's all over the table. I can't help you out. I'm in complete disarray. I have to have some sort of organization, but not so structured that it becomes rigid. I've got to be able to adapt every day as things change. Something else gets implemented, restructure my day. But yeah, the Be a Bro thing has been one of the bigger things we've done. And I think the mental health aspect is huge in there. You know, we tell stories, kind of get guys motivated, and you know, just how important it is to be a professional, whatever you're doing, and inspiring the generation behind you to backfill you. It's kind of hard to do when you're just spitting hate and discontent all day long. You see people who do that. You know, a lot of people, they want a quick fix. They want to take a pill and make it happen. Mm-hmm. It's not going to. And a lot of people, they set these goals that are so unrealistic, you ain't going to make them. You don't have the discipline to pull that off. And I know it's nice to hope and want, wish, ain't gonna work. Why don't you set a goal you can actually maintain? Like, let's go to bed at the same time every day for 7 days. Let's wake up at the same time every day for 7 days. Just do that. Let's add a 20-minute walk in after dinner. Let's add in one before you go to work. Now let's see what's realistic. Now, inside of your life structure, can you add a morning routine that has fitness before you go to work? No, because of this, this, and this. I tell you to find a little gray area, find a little buffer. Maybe you go to bed earlier, maybe you wake up earlier. There's something you can do just for you that makes you exponentially better without a lot of effort. And a lot of it is micro wins. I'm trying to stack up as many micro wins as humanly possible. Did I wake up the same time that I was supposed to? Yep. Did I get my fitness in? Yep. Get a cold plunge in? Yep. 20 minute walk? Yep. Protein shake? Yep. Diet in check? Yep. Did I make my first meeting? Yep. That's 6 things before 10 a.m. I've done that 7 days a week, every day for 5 years. Pretty good, man. That's pretty repeatable. Do I do a 20 minute walk after dinner every night? Mm-hmm. Yeah, every night. That's pretty repeatable. I can knock that out. Do I take a shower every night? Yeah. So why couldn't I do a walk? Oh yeah, I tried keto, it didn't work. Oh, I tried this, it didn't work. I stay up with diet all the time. Best diet in the world is the one you'll actually stick to. Doesn't matter what it is. That can be keto, that can be vegan, that can be whatever you want it to be. If you'll actually stick to it, that's the best diet for you. No different than that morning routine. Life has such a big physical component over it, and that's why I push it so much on military, police, firemen, just overall every day, because to me, life is about processing information. Whether that be conflict, that could be navigating human terrain at the grocery store, it could be whatever it is. The better off I am physically gives me more options. I can process more information because there's no physical taxation to me processing that. Because if there is, I can already solve it. If there's a physical element in it, I don't even know what it is, I can pretty much get through it. Because I'm honest. There's not many things physically that I can't grind my way through. I gotta jump on this, I gotta push that, I gotta pick this chip. I can do all that. If anybody else can do it, I can reasonably do it. And I think most people can, especially if you put forth just a little bit of effort, and the confidence that comes from that is really the key to mental health. It's stop feeling like a victim, and I say that to everybody else too. If you're gonna talk about mental health from a fetal position, stop. Stop. If you're laying in your bed right now talking about how bad your life is, stop. Nobody cares. Nobody's gonna hear you from there. If you're gonna talk about mental health, get up and do it in the grocery store. Get them to go interact with people. Say it to them out in town. Get up and just move. Build a routine. Wake up, drive your car 15 minutes, go sit at Starbucks and drink a coffee inside the restaurant. Do that. Just watch people interact. It pulls people out of depression. They don't want to listen to it. Like, I want to be alone. I know you do. That's why you've had this depression for 20 years. Get out and move. Be around people and see everybody's doing the same thing you are. And not a lot of people just want to put in that work. They don't want to hear the real truth. The real truth is that everybody's got some stuff going on, man. Everybody. Just be open and share it.
If you lead a busy life like me and millions of other people around the world, you might be struggling to get your nutrition in. That's where this stuff comes in, absolutely clutch. If health was easy, everyone would be doing it. But Huel make it that easy. You scoop, you shake, and you go, and you get 26 vitamins and minerals, and every single ingredient inside this and all of Huel's other products has been expertly tested by their team to make sure you're getting exactly what you need. And if I'm really in a pinch for time, I'll grab their ready to drink, which has 35 grams of protein, 26 vitamins and minerals, and tastes delicious. Don't just take my word for it though. People like Idris Elba, Diver CEO Stephen Bartlett, and Hardest Geezer, who ran the entire length of Africa, use this as part of their daily routine. So if you want to find out more, go to the link down below. You can get exclusive offers, like if you sign up to their subscription service, you get 10% off all future orders. And if it's your first time ordering, you get a free shaker and t-shirt. It's also now available in major retailers in the UK and the US. What are you waiting for? Go get it.